Well, brother and I have a subject for all of us today that from time to time comes up. It is a subject that some find interesting, others find intriguing. Some, you know, they're maybe curious about it, at best perhaps arm's length curiosity, really not a big deal on their radar screen, but certainly does come up from time to time throughout the course of my own ministry over the years. I've had to have opportunity and did take opportunity to address it, that is the subject, in some detail. And today I wanted to take some time again, because from time to time interest again kind of crops up and bubbles up a little bit, emerges onto people's minds, and does necessitate sometimes to address perhaps a little bit more clearly and for understanding, as well as for a better awareness of how the Church of God International is specifically as an organization addresses this subject and why we approach it in the way that we do. So I wanted to take some time to dig in a little bit below a few of the layers of the onion skin, as they would say, and take opportunity to explain in some detail this topic about demonology or demons, the study of demons, the spirit world, and all the things that are associated with it. How do they work? What goes on with them? How do they interact with mankind, if at all? Do they? Can we prove it? Is it indeed a reality? And does the Church of God International accept it as such? Is it real to us as ministers in our ministry as an organization? Do we recognize the existence of demonic beings? Well, brethren, I'm here to clear that up real quick. In one sentence, yes, we do. We recognize the existence of spirit beings. Matter of fact, I think maybe perhaps from time to time you've heard me say that we do not live in total reality. And that is a fact. We don't. We live in only a partial reality. The world that we live in today is a material world. But there is another dimension that exists along our dimension. I call it a matrix, a dimension, where it's unseen to our human eyes. It's a fact. They exist. As a matter of fact, they interact with us quite regularly in this world and in the many areas that we ourselves find ourselves dealing with in... What did I do with my glasses? Are they there? Aha! It's a good thing I have my head attached. I would have forgot that. But they do interact with us on quite a regular basis. And I think it does us well to recognize this reality. In our association with it, they have an advantage over us. And I'm going to be quite frank today and just kind of lay out some groundwork and landscape. They can travel back and forth between the matrixes, between the dimensions. We cannot. We're not suited for that. We're physical, material. We can't go through walls. We can't really penetrate the physical with our bodies and go back and forth like they do. It's a one-way portal for us. We're here in this reality. They have an advantage in many ways, and we're going to get into that in a little bit, but I wanted to lay this down first and foremost, and that is that they don't sleep, they watch, they visit, they break the matrix, they go back and disappear. And in reality of some of this, we ourselves find ourselves affected by it from time to time. These beings, and I'm not going to really mention a lot in terms of scriptures. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because time is of the essence on this subject. And it's a big, big subject, and I'm just probably going to scratch the surface of it, quite frankly, today. But the fact of it is that in so many regards, the Bible is loaded with all kinds of information pertaining to the spirit world and this world that we cannot see. I'm going to take some questions and answers at the end of this. So if you would like, as we go through some of this, I would certainly encourage all of you who may have questions about this to write them down, and we'll try to address them afterwards. But in respect to this world that we find ourselves living in, one-third, your Bible talks about one-third of the angelic host is confined to this planet. They move rather freely throughout the world. Many of the things that I'm going to share with you today are all supported by Scripture. If you're not familiar with some of the Scriptures that I'm referencing, certainly do become familiar with them, because they are in your Bible. You can read about the fact that one-third of the angelic host is on this planet in Revelation. Many of you are perhaps aware of that particular location on where that's described. The Apostle Paul calls Satan, the devil, and his minions the god of this world. They are indeed beings that do influence leadership throughout the world, physical leadership, human beings, due to certain methods and means by which we're going to get into here in a little bit. But first I wanted to lay this down as to what their capabilities are and, in essence, how they function, so that we can be a bit more informed and not ignorant of their devices. Paul said, do not be ignorant of the satanic devices that we ourselves find ourselves surrounded by. And in this, what you could say, demonic war zone that we are all, frankly, a part and parcel to, and it is a war zone, because Satan the devil and his minions have found ways to penetrate education, politics. They have found ways to penetrate music, entertainment. They have found ways to be involved in health care. They have found ways to use certain vehicles and means by which the world we find ourselves living in has become very evil and confused. And it's becoming more evil and more confused as we go forward, which just goes to my point of how active their influences are throughout the world. And rightly so, because they travel fast, even faster than Superman, much faster than a speeding bullet. They can travel at the speed, in some cases, of thought. They can penetrate the physical world. They can indeed, and do indeed, control many of the governments of this world, as well as was confirmed in the face-off by Jesus Christ himself with Satan in the wilderness there. Matthew 4, you can read it, where the last temptation. And let's go there for a moment. Let's go there just real quickly here. The last temptation where Satan takes opportunity to offer all the kingdoms of the world to Jesus. He says to him, again, the devil takes him up, verse 8, chapter 4, book of Matthew, to an exceedingly high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. All the kingdoms of the world and the glory, the vanity, the power, the control. He says to Jesus, look, man, this is all yours. I'll give it to you. Now, this is a curious point and should not go unnoticed. And he says here, I'll give you the kingdoms and the glory of them, verse 9 now, and says unto him, all these things will I give you, if you will bow down and worship me. And then Jesus says unto him, you can't do that, you don't own them. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't even dispute that. He goes right to the chase and says, get thee hence behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And when Jesus laid that down, the devil left him, verse 11, and notice this, brethren, angels came and ministered unto him. In other words, not only do we think in terms of demons breaking the veil and coming into our reality, but there are actual exchanges and breaking the veil of good angels too, who do indeed break the veil when times of need occur and God finds it fit and right and appropriate for them to materialize. Hence, remember the two angels that came with the Lord and had lunch with Abraham way back when? And then the Lord went his way afterwards when he materialized there in the wilderness, and they had that, as I say, lunch under the tree. But the angels went on to Sodom and Gomorrah, remember that? And they manifested themselves as two men and went over to Lot's house. You remember the story. And that was a manifestation of spirit beings taking on the physical decorum of a tabernacle, of a human tabernacle, to serve Lot with what they had to do and their what their mission called for them to do in that respect. And so we have these things that we become familiar with where, as I say, these are very interdimensional, shape-shifting beings. They're a species unlike anything that you can imagine and are very powerful. Very powerful. They are indeed nothing to mess with, nothing to fool around with, and frankly, in many respects, nothing to encourage communications with or in any way, shape, or form in your life allow for certain accesses. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Certain accesses in your life for them to use for contact and or for what you could say playing in many respects. Because so many times, they're nothing more. They really are nothing more than delinquents. They are. They're very delinquent and very rebellious. They are very, what you could say, unruly in many respects. They can, as I mentioned, enter and go through in out of the two dimensions that I'm talking about at lightning speed. They can fool with light. They can make things appear. They can make things appear to be when, in fact, there's nothing there. Hence, a lot of people think they see certain things when, in fact, they're seeing nothing but illusions and or delusions, because they are very, very quick, very, very able, and very capable of utilizing everything that they've got available to them in the physical world to use in a sorcery-type fashion. And hence, we have people that think they see UFOs, unidentified flying objects that normally are associated with flying saucers and aliens from another planet, when in fact they are aliens, but they're from another dimension. And they do have control of a lot of the physical world when, in fact, they want to involve themselves in that. Sadly, we as human beings from time to time find ourselves playing with them. So many people, brethren, are so ignorant in certain areas where maybe even some of us here in the room when we were younger thought a Ouija board was fun to play with. You know, the old Ouija boards where you put your fingers on this little thing and it moves around and everybody thinks and it spells out words, you know. Matter of fact, on my way down here, I was just talking to a member in God's church and they were mentioning how when they were young, they played with a Ouija board, and in this one case, they asked who's moving the thing, and the word was spelled out. Satan was the word that was spelled out, and that was the last time they played with the Ouija board. But Satan, hey, all Satan means is what? What does Satan mean? Adversary, enemy. Doesn't necessarily mean it was the big guy, you know. It just simply means an enemy was there. And in fact was basically being attracted or drawn. We do these kinds of things, brethren, without even thinking. The tarot card reader, you know, the palm reader. We walk by and we say, hey, wouldn't it be cool? Let's go in there. Let's pay $5, $10 and get our fortune told, you know. And we think it's cute. It's fun. And we do these things not even realizing, or attend a seance, or maybe hook up with some kind of a seer or some kind of a psychic of sort to tell us something that we might want to know, not realizing, brethren, I'm telling you, you want to communicate with these beings, they'll be more than happy to oblige. And they will be more than happy to play And if you do play, and I've got a little statement I've always recommend people not to forget, and that is, if you are willing to play, they're willing to stay. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that because we are living in a really real spiritual world. And when I say spiritual world, I'm not only talking about characteristics, personality, attributes, and so forth. I'm talking about spirit beings. And it is active. It's very active all around us in so many ways. And today we see that activity even more so because this, what you could say, attraction, whether it be for fun or whether it be, and this I say this as serious as a heart attack, brethren, for empowerment, men and women who are attracted to it for control reasons, men and women who are attracted to it to obtain certain sorcery powers whereby they can create and cause certain magical things, or at least they think they do, but it's the demons working with them. There are covens, or covens, however you want to pronounce it, that exist where witches belong to them. The Wiccan movement and the Church of Satan is one of the largest movements in the United States of America. People are attracted to these things. It's amazing. And there is a element or an element of reality to all of this. There are warlocks, men, politicians, educators and professors of Harvard and Yale. No joke. That are involved in a lot of nefarious activities, including trafficking, making money, sacrificing animals and fetuses or babies that have been aborted. It's a fact. Along with selling baby parts. The world we live in is a nightmare in some respects when you think about these things. And these are indeed confirmed facts, brethren. That you can confirm yourself with just investigating just a little bit on your own about certain things. But they do. They do make contact through many means and many accesses, including hypnosis, including drugs, alcohol. You overdrink, you get drunk, you lose control. Cocaine, marijuana, we've legalized it here in Canada, haven't we? Yeah. And needless to say, we can get stoned now and smoke ourselves basically into a knot out. And who knows what happens in that semi-conscious state, because you are vulnerable. You are vulnerable. And if you don't keep yourself away from some of these things that essentially can rob you of your own conscious control, you're only playing with fire. And at some point, you run the risk. I'm not saying it will automatically happen. I'm not saying it will mandatedly happen. But I'm saying you're running the risk. You're jeopardizing yourself in some respects by affording yourself to be in that condition. That's why the Bible says, don't get drunk. Don't be a wino, you know, figuratively speaking. That means whiskey and beer, too. You know, stay sober, as they would say. I know some of us, you know, we drink to get a little buzz, but hey, do not pass that threshold. You want to stay always in control of your facilities, your thinking, your mind, your emotions. Because remember, we're going to talk a little bit about this. There are accesses in each one of us that do indeed afford certain involvements that we need to be aware of, and I'm going to get to that here in a moment. But all of these things, astrology, tarot cards, palm reading, wizardry, and seers, even priests that are in part of these covens, there are actual black mass priests that belong to these covens, and that they do indeed actually hold services. Even the military in the United States of America now has authorized and authenticated the Church of Satan, so that if you're in the United States military and you are a follower of that particular religion, you have to be accommodated with a place of worship in the United States military. That's how bad things have gotten to the point where some of this stuff has been legitimized in some regards, and sadly and unfortunately does not play real well as far as God is concerned, because he's not amused by it at all. But the fact of it is that when you do get yourself involved in these things, and people, I was just on the internet this morning kind of reviewing some of my notes a little bit, and they were talking, I saw this one topic about how excited this individual was to talk to the dead. No, the dead don't talk. The dead don't talk. You're grounded in that, see. Yet people go to seances to connect up with their moms and their dads or their child that they just lost. And then they think they hear, "Mommy, Mommy!" And the voice, "That's her, that's her." And it's nothing more than a delinquent playing with you, having fun, laughing its fool head off. Look how dumb these beings are. And they're going to rule us. That's where it comes from. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. I'm not turning there. You know some of these scriptures. But that's where some of this stuff comes from. The pride, the ego, the vanity that is embedded in these beings who feel they've been unfairly diminished, unfairly marginalized in lieu of you, in lieu of you becoming sons of God, of which they would never have opportunity to become, because we know, according to Scripture in Hebrews, that they have been created to become ministering spirits. The good angels that retained their habitat, that retained their estate, are continuing to be what they were created to be. And that is ministering spirits. Those that are in rebellion are now reserved to judgment. And they know it. And so they are very, very, what you could say, upset in many respects, and are more than happy to create paranormal experiences to continue to keep the blanket of delusion over a creation of beings that don't have oftentimes a clue on what the real reality that God created is. They don't know it. You do. Your eyes have had scales peeled back, and now you're able, through the keyhole, to peek and see a little bit of what the reality is that God has prepared, so that you're kind of inoculated in that regard to see through some of these foolduggery events and efforts that oftentimes are attempting to manifest, as I say, these paranormal or supernatural events. And frankly, it's something that you don't need to be fooled over. However, that doesn't dismiss the fact that from time to time, and I don't know how many of you, I'm not asking for hands being raised, but I'm sure there's a handful of us, if not most of us here in this room, where we've heard a drawer open and close, and there's nobody there. We hear a telephone ring, but we have no telephone. We hear a door slam, yet everything's locked up and the alarm's on. Or how about this one? A dog munching on a bag, chewing real loud in the room next door when the dog is in the cage upstairs. Then the person, thinking it's an animal, gets up, looks, calls the police, has the house searched. Nothing. But she claims she heard it, just as real as a real dog. She thought maybe a coyote got in the house and was eating her dog food. That's how real it was to her. These things happen. Lights going on and off. Haunted houses, dishes flying. You know. These things exist. And they can jump from species to species. They can jump from humans to animals. We saw that when Jesus put them into pigs. They can jump from species to species. Dogs to cats and cats to dogs. You can put tons of them in the eye of a pin. They have no dimensional space consumption. You can have legions of them in one person. These are very supernatural things, beings, and of which should be eschewed and not be given much thought, in all due respect to what they are indeed all about. Now, I'm just trying to introduce you to some of these things simply because I think it's important for us to recognize a couple of things, that these realities exist and that the Church of God International does not deny, nor does this ministry deny, the existence of demons as beings. It's not an abstract thought. It's not a concept of evil. No, no. We believe Satan the devil was a covering cherub. We believe fully he rebelled against God because he, according to Isaiah 14, wanted to put himself above God. God threw him out. And in Luke 10, we find that Jesus Christ witnessed and watched him fall to earth. He was a spectator, pre-existed in his pre-existed form, and watched him fall to earth, taking one-third of the angelic host with him. And today, these demons run to and fro. Remember when Satan himself went up to God's throne and challenged him about Job? And God said, "So where you been?" "I've been running to and fro on the earth." "Oh, have you noticed my servant Job?" "Yeah, I have. Been watching him." "Oh, yeah. I tell you what, let me have a little space with him." Talked, interacted. We believe these are beings, brethren, without a doubt. And your Bible is very clear that they are existing among us and throughout the world, and do indeed influence our social system in many ways and in many respects. Now, it's been said that because the Church of God International seems to be somewhat quiet on this topic, that perhaps by our silence, there has been maybe some thinking about the fact that, we really don't believe. And that's why I'm trying to emphasize here in many respects that, yes, we do believe. We believe we should stay away from them, for sure, without a doubt. But putting that all to the side, the fact of it is, the Church of God International has quite a bit of material on demonology. A new booklet we just wrote, and it's pretty, you can read it in one sitting, but it's sizable. It's titled Angels and the Spirit World. How many of you read that? How about this one? The Devil, You Say. These are all booklets, by the way. These are not just little articles. These are booklets. You want to know about what the Church of God International thinks about demons, these booklets will lay it out. How about this one? What You Should Know About Demon Possession. These are one-hour presentations, just four among many. One I gave, Understanding the Spirit World. Anybody hear that one? Understanding the Spirit World. It's on the website, I'm sure, on the Canadian website. Charles Gross gave one, Dealing with Demons. No. Van Stinson gave one, Principalities and Powers. Anybody hear that one? Principalities and Powers. How about this one from Bronson James? This is a good one, too. Entering into Enemy Territory. How many have heard that one? Bronson James. Entering into Enemy Territory. you guys want titles, you can see me afterwards, and I'll give you the titles of all this material. Let me highly recommend that if indeed this particular subject is somewhat intriguing for you or interesting to you, to go ahead and take some time to get this material, because it will help lay out some clarity on just exactly what we believe the demonic world is and can do and does, and why we approach demonology the way we do as an organization. Because let's face it, I know many of you are well aware of the fact that, you know, on Sunday morning we see a lot of these guys on the stages, and it becomes a circus act, you know, beep, you know, whack, you know, and oh Jesus, you know, and get the, and then you get this demon out, and the person is glued to the floor and they can't get up, and all this kind of stuff, you know, and you see all of these kinds of charades and shenanigans, and you wonder to yourself, wow, you know, how is that all happening? Why doesn't our church perhaps maybe do something like that? Well, because, quite frankly, it's much more complex than that. It's much more complex than that. And really does indeed merit some serious consideration on how demons work. How do they work? I want to mention a distinction. There are primarily two broad tactics that demons use. Two broad tactics. One of them is called influencing, or vexation / oppression. You maybe have heard that. Demon oppression or demon vexation, or the result is demon influence. He's influenced by demons. That's one tactic. Then, of course, there's the other tactic of possession. And that's the one that most people focus on and is easily defined as the loss of control of your facilities, the loss of control of your emotions, the loss of control of your mind, of where you are and who you are, and doing things that perhaps you don't remember doing because you got into such a state of anger, such a state of remorse, such a state of emotional disruption and distress that you became unconscious of what you were doing. And people then often say, "Why, he was such a nice guy. I don't know what got into him." You know, you ever hear people say that? "Why, I can't believe she did that. How could she cook her children?" You know? Or how did the husband drive the car into the lake and kill the kids? You hear these things now. Things that are highly extreme. The Jeffrey Dahmer case. I won't go into the details, but those of you who may know the Jeffrey Dahmer case and what that young man did and how he lived. These are extremes that become obvious. These people are not in control or in their right mind, and certainly in some cases, not all, possession is identifiable. Not always, though. Not always. Point being, the favored methodology, the one of choice that they mostly use on all of us. And I want to turn over here to, I think it's John. And in chapter 17, verse 15, "I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil." And that's our mission, brethren. We're not able, like the Hotel California, we're not able to just leave. We can check out, and I hope all of us are pretty much checked out of the world's influences, that we are and do the best we can to stay clean in a dirty world. But as Jesus said, our mission is to be lights and salt unto the world. So we cannot leave, in that sense, the hotel, the earth. We've got to stay in the action. We have to stay in the mix, as they would say. But, in all due respect, to stay away from the evil that's in it. Check out from it. And that's important that we do. But, in due respect, these demonic influences, these demonic forces do indeed have all kinds of tools while we're in the checkout mode to influence us. They will use the multitude of tools that the world offers them. From advertising to entertainment, to music, to movies, to everything and anything that you can think of, that almost like an algorithm, they spin the chamber hoping that something is going to connect. Something is going to hit. Something's going to give them what they want so that you all of a sudden respond. And they'll ploy. They'll ploy on the lust of your eyes. They'll target the lust of your flesh. And they will also target your vanity, your ego. John told us that in 1 John. Keep in mind, that's a window, that's an access to each and every one of our personalities. And they will use it to their advantage, hoping to get you off your game so that you can begin to follow their influences. It's very important, brethren. You don't listen to it, you recognize, you resist, and you replace immediately, as fast as possible, cutting that access to wherever it's coming from. Maybe you're going to the wrong place. Maybe you're drinking too much. Maybe you're reading the wrong kinds of books. Maybe you're listening to the wrong kind of people. Maybe there's influences coming at you from work. Maybe it's time to change the job because you can't control the circumstances. On and on and on it goes. My point is there's a lot of tools these beings will use hoping to take you out, because there's one thing that you can bet pretty much your life on. They want to destroy you. Amen. They want to destroy you emotionally. They want to destroy you mentally. And they definitely want to destroy you spiritually, as well as, if they can do it, physically. Because they don't like what you represent. I'm having a heart-to-heart with you, brother. This is reality check. Because the world is not getting any better for us Christians. And it really is a difficult time for Christians, especially, and this is what compounds it, especially when the society around us is legitimizing abnormalities to be normal. And it becomes very confusing to our children. It becomes very confusing at school and their friends that they mix with, because now they're mixing with Susie, who's got two mommies or two daddies. And that's a reality. But Susie's a good friend. So mom, you know, how's dad going to guide Joey or Susie on how to get along with Marie? Not Alan. Marie. But you know what I'm saying. How does that work? And it makes our job as parents, because these are all the venues of access these beings, these delinquents use, that they have advantage of, because so much of the world is already skewed. For most people, God doesn't mean a whole lot to them. And if God does mean something to them, they've got the wrong God. Or they don't understand what God really means, or even believes, or what his destiny for mankind is. And we could go on and on with that. But the point of it is, the world is in some very, very sad shape in many respects. But this influence becomes rather problematic. And it becomes problematic in trying to determine what really is wrong with the individual. Because you see, over here in Matthew chapter 4, where we were, let me go back there for a moment, Matthew chapter 4, we have a legitimate distinction. Now, we made one distinction already, and that is there's a difference between possession, and we're not talking about demon possession. I'm talking about demon vexation. I'm talking about demon influence, demon oppression. I'm talking about people who are influenced through demonic vexation and or demonic influence, oppression, and consequently are being accessed emotionally, mentally, physically, or, of course, spiritually as a result. That's what we're talking about. So we got possession off on the shelf. We're not going to even address that today. We don't have the time. But in this area of vexation, there's another nuance I want to dig down into. Because you see, brethren, there is legitimate distinction between demonic vexation, there's a legitimate distinction between demonic vexation and or slash oppression, same thing, and, you ready? Mental illness. Let me show you. Over here, Matthew 4. Notice Jesus. After he came down from the wilderness and came out, and he was over in Galilee, verse 23, went about Galilee teaching the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases among the people. Verse 24 now, here you go. Listen to this now. Watch. Watch what Matthew says. And his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought unto him all sick people that were taken with different diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were, and the Greek word here is seleni adzamai. It means to be cuckoo, crazy, moonstruck, mentally ill, reckless. And I bring it to your attention because there's a distinction between those that were with devils and those that were lunatic. That's how it's described, lunatic. And this is the challenge that all of us have when trying to decipher between mental illness and demon vexation. Because there's a legitimate concern that we could become overzealous in attributing certain things to demon vexation when in fact, because we are physiopsychological, meaning our health, our physical well-being has a lot to do with how we think, has a lot to do with how we feel, has a lot to do with how we consequently, with that in mind, act and behave. All of us are hormonal. All of us from time to time get moody. Especially if we're not eating right. If our sugar is out of balance. If we're on medication and we've got some side effects going on. And then maybe we get off the medication. In all those areas, your behavior can change. Don't you agree? And it means nothing about any kind of demonic activity. It has nothing to do with any kind of oppression from the demon or spirit world. It's just simply your body is kicking in and lacking this, that, or the other thing, or you got too much of this, that, or the other thing, or you didn't get enough sleep, or your sugar's out of whack, you're hypoglycemic, you're diabetic, whatever it may be. But the reality of it is that you have an effect going on in your behavior. Because you're physically in a disabled condition. And as a result, somebody may say, well, you know, he's demon, some even say demon possessed. And we're not even talking about possession. Because he's acting that way. Well, and that's truly irresponsible in even thinking that. Oh, he's demon vexed. Well, you don't know that. See, we don't know that. He's demon oppressed. He's got demon problems. They're always visiting him. Well, you don't know that. You see, we don't know that. could be just having a bad hair day. You know, he's just not up to it, or she's not up to it today. Things are going wrong. You know, our lives are dynamic. We lose loved ones. We get in a car accident. We have some kind of a financial letdown, breakdown. Stresses, anxieties, and pressures. The coronavirus today that's going around the world. I mean, come on. The coronavirus with a mortality rate that's so low that the flu, measles and mumps blow it away. The only reason why all of this is being so blown up, brethren, is because of the contagion news, that it's so contagious. When in fact, if you get it, I remember when I was 5 years old, my mother said, you know what, Billy, you're going to get the measles. Billy, you're going to get the mumps. Tough it out. Deal with it. And guess what? I got the measles. And I got the mumps. And guess what? I lived through it. Less than 2% of the people are dying from this. We have 10,000 people a year in the U.S. that die of the flu every year. 10,000! And everybody's always, you know, we got a bump now. We got an elbow now. You know, hi, how are you? No, hey, you know, everybody's on their mark. They're on their game, you know, and we're all believing, eating it up in the news. I don't want to minimize it, nor do I want to marginalize it. We need to take precautions because you don't want to get sick. And I agree. I don't want the flu. I don't want the common cold. You know, I certainly don't want the coronavirus. But the reality of it is, brethren, there are so many tools that these beings use in the minds of people, and the biases, the ethnicity disruption of blacks against whites and Latinos against blacks, and on it goes with all these ethnic issues and stresses, that if they can use it to divide and conquer us, and that's the game, divide and conquer, guess what? They will. There's nothing more that they would like is to destroy a congregation that represents the body of Christ. And we can't let that happen. We got to be bigger than that. We got to be smarter than that. We got to be inoculated against that, spiritually speaking, not to allow those kinds of things to go ahead and have any kind of an effect on us. And so my point here is, and in this case, as pointed out here in Matthew 4:24, that it becomes legitimate to consider the fact that there are authentic mental illnesses. Where they're coming from, whether, let's face it, if it's even demonically and or dietarily, physically, or whether it's emotionally, it's not important in that respect to be concerned about who we attribute it to. What's important is how to get a handle on it and stop it, in whatever case it may be. And shame on us if we don't explore the fact that perhaps after analyzing certain things, we come to a conclusion that maybe I need to change my diet. Maybe I need to take in less sugar. Maybe I need to take in less salt, for starters. Maybe I need to get off this medication. Maybe I shouldn't get that vaccine. Not that I'm against vaccines. Don't take me out of context. But you know what I'm saying. They're talking about a coronavirus vaccine that's going to have a 90-day gestation period, and they're going to start giving it to us. Yeah, right. No way, Jose. A 90-day gestation period from test tube to trial on rat. Give it to Noel. These are the things we're up against. Think, brethren. Be courageous in this day. Stand your ground. Demons have no influence and rule over you if you stand your ground. And if you know where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ and God, you can be at ease Don't get off your game. Be vigilant. But you can be secure. You don't need to be insecure in these areas of these cases that we're talking about. But here's the dicey aspect of this. In regards to legitimate mental illness and demonic vexation. Again, we're not talking about possession. I want to emphasize that. We're not talking about possession. I'm just talking about demon influence from the outside in, through your thoughts, through your emotions, through your health or lack thereof of managing it. All of these things that come to us through many venues and many windows into us via from the world or even ourselves, or if we're messing around with tarot cards and Ouija boards and everything else and actually in contact, then we're going to get it, you know what I'm saying. But what I'm saying in this regard, we're talking about just that. Influence, vexation. And because there is a legitimate distinction between mental illness and vexation, it gets dicey in trying to make a determination on when one is indeed authentically demon-vexed and or what you could say demon-influenced or oppressed. I mean, how do you discern it? Now, some claim, I've got the spirit of discernment. All right, maybe you do. And if that be so, and you go around accusing Eus of being demon-vexed, you have to live with that because you become the standard. And God forbid those of us who walk out into that arena and begin to deal in those areas and do something to an individual by accusing them of being demon-vexed when in fact they're hypoglycemic. Or maybe it's the wrong time of the month. But my point is, shame on us for being that presumptuous. Amen. And impatient to jump and take that leap and say such a thing to a brother or a sister, or for that matter, a colleague at work or a fellow student at school. Any of these things, brethren. It's so very, very reckless in doing something like that because a misdiagnosis could do more harm. You come out of the box and you accuse somebody of being demon-vexed and face-to-face tell them that. There's no telling what kind of trauma you have just caused that individual. And especially me as a minister or, for that matter, any kind of authority figure. Somebody who allegedly people perceive, he may know something about what he's talking about. Claim you're demon-vexed. Yikes! That could be very post-traumatic in many respects. And any minister who would jump at that and say something like that, brethren, don't believe them. Don't just walk away. Just walk away. Because due diligence in attempting to try to qualify and vet the distinction between what's going on with you and what can we do about it is very important to be done prior to vexation, not possession. I'm not talking about possession. I just want to remind you again. I'm talking about vexation. Oppression is the last default you'd want to go to, and that takes some time. It's not a circus display where we get Noel out on the carpet here and hit him on the forehead and tell him that he's been exercised, you know. That's just plain silliness, irresponsible, and reckless. Truly reckless. And yet there are deliverance ministries that are focused on getting their hands in your pocket to support this kind of circus, this kind of display of the empowerment of God to maintain them to be the center of attraction. And that is very insulting to the body of Christ. Frankly, it kind of diminishes the value of the power of God in all due respect. Here, in the world that we live in, we have in the area of the American Psychiatric Association, the APA, a book called The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. This book, in its fifth version, is what you would consider to be the statement of beliefs of the psychology community or psychiatry community. They have written it to define common language so that in the process of diagnosis, they can work through a process of elimination for identifying the condition of the individual. And I want to read this real quickly here, just to illustrate something. Because this is a complex subject, brethren. It's nothing to fool with, because demons do exist. They do camouflage themselves in mental illness, absolutely. But it is presumptuous at best for any of us to go out on the limb and say you're demon-vexed, when in fact we don't know that. And so here in this case, what we're reading here is, and I just quote on what the purpose of this Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders is all about. I quote, "The Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM for short, latest edition, DSM-5, that's the fifth edition, published in 2013, it's the most up-to-date, is a publication for the classification of the mental disorders using a common language and standard criteria. It is used by clinicians, researchers, psychiatric drug regulation agencies, health insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, the legal system, and policymakers. It is published by the American Psychiatric Association, the APA for short. DSM evolved from systems for collecting census and psychiatric hospital statistics." So this is an accumulation of a lot of data over decades, going back to, in this case, with this particular book, 1952, a year after I was born. Many, many decades. This is an accumulation of data that they've accomplished and have used through the science of mental illnesses, seeing it repeated over and over and over. And they've come to recognize certain patterns, certain habits, certain manifestations of behavior that are common to these kinds of mental diseases and or sicknesses due to deficiencies of this, that, and the other thing, because they've gone ahead and they've gotten results from testing, blood analysis, and so forth. So they've got all of this data in this book, a lot of it. And from this, they've come to recognize that these psychiatric hospital statistics and the United States Army Manual. Why is that? Because Army people go through a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of PTS in the Army, or coming out of it. They make good guinea pigs. And so consequently, they got a lot of data from them, or data. It says here, revisions since its first publication in 1952 have incrementally added to the total number of mental disorders and removed those no longer considered to be mental disorders. Now, no joke, I understand that there are demonic activity, or is demonic activity, in the mental illness field. I remember a time when I went to a psychiatric ward. I was visiting a church member who I was counseling. In one of my sessions with her, I watched her eat a styrofoam cup right in front of me while we were talking. She got committed by her family, so I went to visit her and counsel with her. As I was walking through, I got in, walked through a dormitory where there were probably 2-3 dozen patients sitting in various conditions, wheelchairs, walking, just doing this, you know, all kinds of things. And I was walking with an orderly there. I wasn't dressed like this. I was dressed very casually. There was no indication that I was a minister. There was no indication that I was a policeman, a doctor, anything. I was just, I don't know what, I was wearing very casual clothes. And as I'm walking through, all of a sudden a voice said, "Man of God! And first thing you know, all of them started raising their voices. "Man of God! Man of God!" And I said, "Ooh, boy." You know. Now, I don't know how many were there, meaning demons, but I tend to think there were a few in that room. not all of the people, of course, but my sense was, demons are real, brethren. They are real. But the challenge for us is making the distinctions between genuine, authentic, legitimate mental illness and demon vexation. We're all vexed, potentially, in varying degrees, based on what we allow in our lives and or what we disallow in our lives. If we're angry people all the time, watch out. It's an access. If you're impatient, watch out. It's an Achilles heel. If you've got certain weaknesses about yourself, like alcohol or different other addictions, be it food or TV or telephone, you know, internet, computer, watch out, because there's a lot of information out there that once you get into the wild, wild west, aka the World Wide Web, you allow yourself now exposure to all kinds of information and potential influence in that area. So, in this case, as I point out in terms of mental illness, I'm going to quote real quickly here, just for an idea, to illustrate to you from this resource of mine from the Christian American Association of Christian Counselors regarding counseling the demonic from Roger K. Bufford, Ph.D. And on page 87, he mentions this, mental disorders, as stated by DSM. Disorders usually first evident in infancy, childhood or adolescence, disruptive behavior disorder, anxiety disorder. He goes on, organic mental disorders, dementias arising before and during old age, psychoactive substance-induced organic mental disorders, organic disorders, psychoactive substance-induced organic disorders, schizophrenia, delusional paranoid disorder, psychotic disorders not elsewhere classified, mood disorders, bipolar, manic depressive disorders, anxiety disorders, dissociative disorders, sexual disorders, sleep disorders, factions, fake disorders. You ever meet a person? Ever meet a person who always wants you to feel sorry for them? They're always looking for attention. They play on your sympathy. They play on your empathy. They constantly want attention from you because they've got this, that, and the other thing wrong with them. They always want that attention because they always feel sick. There's people like that. They're not sick. They just fake it because they want the attention. Is that demon vexation? Probably not. But it's certainly a psychological disorder. Because maybe they don't need the attention. So you got to figure out how do you get them to recognize this. That's the challenge. That takes long-term counseling. You can't just do that overnight. You can't just do it one time and it's over. You see, these things are very, very, what you could say, serious and real in many respects. Adjustment disorder, development disorder, physical disorders and conditions, severity of psychosocial stresses. Did you ever meet? I used to have a friend who couldn't go to crowds. Couldn't go in crowds. He was always, if he went to a crowd, he would be claustrophobic. Margie, my wife, she had a claustrophobic issue with airplanes. She doesn't now. She got over it. She worked through it. But she couldn't get on an airplane because she just couldn't put herself in that place. Now she does. She worked through it. Was it a vexation? No. It was a phobia. You know, it was just something simple that she was able to work through. And she faced it, as many of us need to face. There are so many things, brethren, that access us from the real world into our lives that oftentimes cause us trauma and do indeed cause us to be misdiagnosed. Remember, even Jesus Christ was accused of what? Being demon-possessed. His family accused him of being lunatic. They said, you're beside yourself. Get a hold of yourself, Jesus. Who do you think you are? Stop that. You know, his mom and his brothers on a few occasions. And of all things, like I said, he was accused of being demon-possessed. Jesus Christ was accused by the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus, of course, would always kick back in those areas. So I guess what I'm saying, brethren, is in this case, it's important we recognize that there is legitimate mental and emotional illness, and it does come from genuine, sometimes negligence and or uncontrolled habits in our lifestyle that cause and contribute to certain illnesses in our minds. Also, the way we were brought up when we were kids, whether we come from a divided home, a broken home, divorce, maybe we never knew who our father was, maybe we were sexually abused, maybe we were verbally abused, maybe we were emotionally abused, maybe we were abandoned and we were orphans and we got picked up by foster parents. So many things that have all this interplay that make up what we are today and how we've turned out, and all of those psychoses that we're battling, the headwinds of our life that we're battling due to, in some cases, even going as far back as the upbringing that we had with the parents that we were with. So all of these things need to be considered, and certainly realistically evaluated and taken into consideration, because as we don't want is to revert to what's called reductionism. And that is, on one side of the pendulum, demons don't have anything to do with anything, to demons have everything to do with everything. There are people who see demons in everything. If you've got an anger problem, that's a demon. Demon of anger. There's people that think it's a demon of impatience. It's a demon of greed. It's a demon of this or demon of that. And they assign emotions to these demonic, what they perceive to be demonic influences, when nothing, it's nothing but maybe vexation or just their personality being the way it is because of their upbringing, because of their diet, because of what they do, and all the things that they are. So it's hard. It's very challenging for all of us, brethren, to be involved in the area of trying to determine where some of the problems come from, especially if we don't take the time to try to vet where it is indeed coming from. Over here in Matthew chapter 12, I want to come over here because this is important as far as a cautionary consideration for all of us when, in fact, we involve ourselves in this particular arena. And here in chapter 12 and in verse 43, we read this. When an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, and he walks through dry places, that is the spirit, seeking rest, and he finds none, then he says, that is the demon, I will return to my house, that's the person, the tabernacle, from where I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goes he and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Caution. You get involved with trying to be an exorcist, you think you've got a deliverance ministry, not that anybody does here, but there are those kinds of things that are circling God's church. And when you get involved in that, there is tremendous liability, because God forbid, could you imagine? So I go to Horain's house, and Horain, I perceive, has got a demon. And I exorcise him. And 3 weeks later, he shoots himself. Wow. Who's got the liability? Who gets the attention when the media comes knocking on the door? The Church of God International is not reckless in that way. We don't take demonology lightly. We take it very seriously. And it's something to be handled privately. It's something to be handled subjectively. It's something to be handled very personally. Because if indeed there is vexation involved, that's a very personal matter and should really be contained within the ministry, not in the brethren, in the laity. It really should be corralled in the ministry so that serving and the proper vetting and evaluations can be ascertained for hopefully the healing process of that individual. I hope, brethren, we understand the Church of God International is not negligent in this area. We just take a very serious approach toward it because we have what I believe to be probably the more balanced approach in demonology than most Christian churches have. No, we're not negligent. We'll address it. I was ordained in 86, so 30-some years of ministry. I would have to say that in all those years, I probably had maybe a half a dozen actual experiences that I could think, I won't describe them here, but that I actually would consider demonic. That's all. In all those years. Most of our problems come from vexation, influence, being lazy, not doing what we should be doing, opening ourselves up, going to wrong places, visiting with wrong people, allowing ourselves certain freedoms that we know are wrong, that we do. If indeed we stay on the straight and narrow, we'll keep our lives a lot simpler and minimize. You won't eliminate the vexations. You won't eliminate the oppressions. But you certainly can minimize them and take the wind out of their sails. Because if you don't give them the attention and they can't play and get at you, and as they roll that algorithm and roll that chamber looking for that bullet that's going to connect with you, they don't get any shot. Guess what? What's your Bible say? Draw close to God, and the devil will flee from you. Simple one-liner. That's the key. Draw close to God, and he will, that is the devil, flee from you. It's that simple. We need to control ourselves more, brethren. We need to get serious about the Christian life that we're living and do what is certainly the important things, because, as I say, we can't erase the liabilities that are associated with accusing people of being demon-vexed or possessed, although we haven't been talking about possession, but that goes along with it. But we cannot take that liability upon yourself or upon the Church of God International, especially in this litigious society we live in, where everybody's wanting to sue everybody for anything on any given day for anything. So it's important that we take precautions and we are careful about that. There's much to think about this. Caring for your mind and your emotions, spiritual well-being is frankly health care. It is health care. Spiritual health care. And that, as I say, needs to be retained to the ministry for if indeed it becomes problematic to you, whereby counseling is necessary. It's not a circus to display the power of God with you being at the center of attraction. And so many deliverance ministries are all about that. The Benny Hinn's and others that slip my mind, that just do certain things. Who takes the Holy Spirit and throws it at a group of people on the stage and knocks them down like bowling pins? I mean, come on. This is so disingenuous and so off the rails of what Jesus illustrates, and consequently and frankly should be eschewed on our part. So real quickly here, let me just wrap this up. So what is recommended? Let me read these things. Stay away from the esoteric activities. Do not encourage contact. Don't go to palm readers. Stay away from covens. Do not mix and mingle with warlocks and witches. Stay away from these people. And do not expose yourself to this kind of activity. If you're being harassed, pray to God. Use Jesus' name to rebuke the harassment. They're delinquents. Don't give them the time of day. If you hear the drawer shut and close and you get up and you see nothing, just go to your knees and say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, get rid of this thing. Get rid of this. I need to sleep. I got to go to work tomorrow. You know? Get rid of this thing. Jesus' name invokes a demand and command to them that they, even coming from you, must listen. So do it. You're the best first responder in this case that you have. You. You don't need the ministry for that. Although the ministry stands by, certainly at your beck and call. If need be, contact the ministry for counseling and help. But dealing with demons should never be taken on as circus display. Never as circus display. We see on some of the Sunday religious programs. Here in Toronto, we have the benefit, and it is a benefit, of a prayer ministry. And in all due respect, that prayer ministry is a powerful tool for combating and resisting and hedging from these kinds of encroachments. I would recommend to utilize that service, attend these meetings as you have time, interest, and availability, and do participate in the prayer ministry as time allows and affords you. Because the prayer ministry, brethren, is a powerful ministry. Prayer is a powerful tool. It's able to resist so much and invoke so much. And sometimes, quite frankly, and I've spoken about it, and I think some of the men here have spoken about how we don't really give prayer the due consideration and credence that it deserves and we should. So do take time. Get on your knees. Pray to God. Pray that He puts His angels around the ministry. There are things that I could tell you about my own life that will do nothing other than to share with you some personal things that I've experienced, but all I can say is, suffice it to say, pray for me. Pray for all the ministry. Pray for Horaine and Bev. The wives as well. The wives go under a lot of pressure too. And sometimes are accessed to ministry through the women. It's a real world, brethren. It's a demonic world. It's a demonic war zone we're in. But in all due respect, keep a balanced view on it and don't really think about it a lot. Because as long as you're doing what you should be doing in your God-given responsibilities and calling, you're fine. You've got a hedge around you. You've got protective angels around you. And those angels do fight for you. And we know they do fight. We know Michael had to contend with the body with Satan over the body of Moses. We know that they fight in Daniel. Remember, Daniel took 21 days to get an answer because they had to fight the one of Persia, the demon of Persia. So we do know that there are fights. We do know there are a lot of activity going on. But you've got a hedge around yourselves. You've got protective angels. So don't even give it the time of day. And if indeed you find yourself encroached directly, hey, invoke Jesus' name, ignore the delinquent, call him out, call the elephant out in the room, and don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. They'll play on it. They'll play on it. They'll play on it. Don't be fearful. Get up, go up, get a glass of water, make some coffee. In Jesus' name, get out of here. Be confident. Be strong. Be courageous in your faith. And the demons won't bother you. They won't bother you. Vexations will always bother you. But you can minimize them. You can minimize them. Without a doubt, you can minimize them by just controlling your own appetites. The lust of your eyes, the lust of your flesh, and the pride of life, your vanity, your ego. Watch those windows. Keep them loosely open or loosely locked, in many respects. All right. I didn't know if we wanted to do a Q&A now. Or after? Okay. So with that, I'll sit down.